Morning. I am glad to see your smiling faces and your festive sweaters. Glad you're here. It's a good place to be, good time to be together, and I'm excited to be here with you. Welcome to this place. A few announcements before we get started with our worship. Our Christmas Eve services, you can find the list of them in the front of your bulletin. There are 6 services, the last two of which are simultaneous, one in here in the worship center and one in the chapel. So share this information with your friends, neighbors, let them know that we have all these services going on and they can pick one or go to several, and they can hear this great news, the good tidings of joy, and share in fellowship. I think that's a very good time to invite folks to church, so be sure and do that. Also, next Sunday, December 29th, we will only have one service, and that will be at 9:40. So that's not a big deal for y'all, I guess. But 9:40 will be one service together. You will see a whole lot of other people that you don't usually see, so just know that that's why. We also want to remind you to fill out your Connect cards. As always, it's important to do that if we can all tear them together at this time to get that noise out of the way. This is really important information, but you can also put your prayer requests on there. Also, and lastly, our mission box for today, which is found in the back on your way out, you can feel free to donate for that. It is, for the next two Sundays, it's 3 different local organizations that we found out are in great need. They find themselves in great need, especially at this time. And that is Gainesville Community Ministries, Helping Hands Clinic, and Interfaith Hospitality Network. They all have websites as well where you can get information from them. We looked up a couple of the things, and Gainesville Community Ministries served over 1,000 medical patients. They also have dental patients and Helping Hands Clinic, very similar, Interfaith Hospitality Network. They come to this church, and we've seen some incredible, beautiful families come through our doors with that. So please, if you are led to give to these local charities who are in need, please do so. We want to welcome you. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please stand and join in the singing of our opening hymns? What Child Is This? And Hark the Herald.
Caton family lighting our Advent wreath and leading us in our liturgy.
Good morning. So good to see you all here today. So let's do our Advent affirmation. O God of peace, we gather today to worship you.
Lord God,
O Prince of Peace, we bless your holy and sacred name.
Glory to God in the earth, peace.
O Holy Spirit, you long to bring peace to every heart.
Glory to God in the earth, peace.
On this fourth Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of peace.
May all come to know
the peace of God, which passes all understanding.
As we sing about peace, we turn to those of our fellowship who may not be experiencing great peace at this time of year, those who are in hospitals and rehabs, as we turn our hearts and thoughts to God in prayer. Laura Lee Mills and Sam McGrainer are in hospitals. and Blanche Dearman, Esther Yoder, Alice Jean Martin, Edna Marie Brown, and Frank Covington are in rehabs, except that Edna Marie Brown went home on Friday, and Frank Covington also has gone home. Esther Yoder was scheduled to go home yesterday, and we pray that she did. Meredith Lister Higgins went home to Panama City on Thursday after breast cancer surgery. She was a youth intern here at Trinity back in the 90s, and we pray for her. We also want to lift up Pat Kilby and her family in the loss of Pat's husband, Dick. His service will be January the 16th. You can watch for announcements on that. Marjorie Alexander is also dealing with some serious health problems. We'll lift her up. We've been asked to pray also for Dorothy Allen and for Rosemary Teagan. Rosemary is one of our mother of preschoolers' moms and has been hospitalized for complications following giving birth. Let us turn our hearts and our thoughts to God. Mighty God, Prince of Peace, we gather this morning with hearts that are not always at peace, hearts that are hurried at this time of year, concerned with so many things, and yet the only thing that is needed is to be concerned about celebrating your birth and what that means for us in this world. We thank you for coming into our hearts and speaking to us about how we can be at peace in our relationship with you. You came speaking peace to the world. You stood when your disciples were tossed and fearing for their lives in a boat in a storm and said, "Peace, be still." And it was. And everywhere you went, your primary greeting was, "Peace be with you." We hear that echo in your voice to us today. And as we celebrate the wonder of the Christmas season and the angels and announcement that there will be peace on earth, goodwill to men, we pray that that is the case. For we live in a world of violence and war, of refugees, of illness, disease, and natural disasters, where so many people have lives that are not at peace in this world. But yet through it all, those who know your peace, those who know your love and the power of your spirit in theirs, knows that there is a peace that passes all understanding. And we pray for that for each of us this season. We pray it especially for those who are troubled and ill and grieving. And as we seek to find that peace for ourselves, teach us how to pray, even as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks, David. I want to just celebrate a big event this past Friday night. Sunlight sang at Simplify. It was an outstanding concert. Thank you, Sunlight. Awesome. Yeah. And they wore those wonderful red shirts there, too. A couple of things. Steve Bingham. Steve, are you over there? Where did you go? Steve and Trudy and some folks from Sidney Lanier are going to Haiti the day or two after Christmas. Is that right? 39th wedding anniversary. You're flying to Haiti. But you're going to do some musical stuff and some other things there. An orphanage. Okay, and so our prayers will be with you, and if we can financially support you, how would we do it? You don't know. Okay. We'll let you know. I'll send out an email. We've had I just want to celebrate and say thanks. We had a record pledging this year, more than any other time, and if you haven't had a chance to pick up a coffee mug from your pledge, there's some, I think, in the table in the back. There were in the last service, so we'd be glad for you to do that. We're delighted you all are here, and I know there's some first-time visitors here or guests from afar. I met a woman from Barbara Sheridan. Barbara, would you raise your hand or stand up? Barbara, nice to have you here. Welcome. Anybody else from hither or yon who are visiting with us? Richard, who do you have with us this morning? Sharon and Tom. Sharon's the youth director at Eustis Methodist Church, and Tom's on the staff at LEC, the Life Enrichment Center in Leesburg. Wonderful. Nice to have you all here. I met another two young people, Julianne and Ryan. Julianne lives in Kansas. Ryan lives in Fort Walton Beach. They're the Schaups. Grew up here but have moved away. Welcome. Would you raise your hand back there? Thanks. Nice to have you here. Man, Eric, nice to have you guys back home. Wonderful, yeah. Anybody else here visiting for the first time or back home, would you tell us who you are? What's that? Amy, where are you, Amy? Nice to see you. Oh, Amy, hey. Come out of Boston down to see us. Good to see you. You're going to get in trouble, Gene. All right. Right now, we're really, really honored. Honored and privileged to have new members joining the church. Andy and Marilyn Gray, would you all come up to the front? Andy and Marilyn, their daughter Katie, no, wait a minute, Katie, and their little grandson Nathan are here. Nice to have you, Katie and Nathan, and little Sophie is over in Sunday school. Wonderful. Andy and Marilyn lived in Hawaii for a long, long time, most all your lives. Yeah. And then Andy was with Motorola and traveled around, actually the world, you all did too, but went back to live in Hawaii, but said, no, I think we want to join Trinity Methodist Church. So you moved here. That's pretty close, isn't it? Yeah. I think the grandchildren maybe been the draw. Okay. Yeah. Nice to have you guys here, and welcome. And do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you? Do you promise as God gives you strength to lead lives that are pleasing to God, will you? And will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts in your service, and your witness, will you? Let me pray with you. God, we're so grateful for Andy and Marilyn and just the joy of getting to know them and for all that they bring to this church. And as we unite together, may your kingdom be strengthened and may we be even more faithful as members of Christ's church to support the work of the kingdom of Christ here on earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the response to the congregation. We welcome you into our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church to make disciples of Jesus Christ devoted to making a difference in the world. Now, where is it you lived in Hawaii?
Honolulu.
If y'all stand and greet each other and say whether or not you've ever been to Honolulu or not. Greet the people around you and wish them a Merry Christmas, Hadley and Bonnie.
Be seated. Almighty God, we thank you so much for the ways that you are so generous in giving to us, for you give us not just life, but all that makes life so rich and abundant and full. And so we are delighted to have the opportunity to give back to you for the work of your kingdom, that others might come to know the wonder of your abundant life. And so as we offer you these gifts and ourselves, we pray that you would consecrate them with the power of your Spirit to bring that about. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for your support of Sunlight. We had a wonderful time at Simplify on Friday night. Lots of you came out to support us and hear us. We'll be performing a short concert before the 8:30 service on Christmas Eve. And we'll be doing many of the same songs as we did for our concert. One of the wonderful things about this group is that there are many, many talented singers and musicians. And for this particular song that we're going to be doing, Grown Up Christmas List, many people tried out. And because there were so many that tried out, we picked, instead of two soloists, we picked three. And because there's lots of craziness going on, I put the wrong soloist in today's bulletin. This is Carly Rubin. She will be singing for you today, and Rachel will be singing on Christmas Eve. So come back and hear us again.
Good morning. Our scripture reading for today is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Hear now the word of God. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God.
They said, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There's something beautiful about the way children are able to tell the Christmas story, isn't there? Sunlight, as always, beautiful job. I heard a lot of people talking about the concert Friday night and that they were now, after hearing our youth sing the Christmas story, that they were in the mood for Christmas. And did you see the live nativity here this week? You know, while I was preparing for this sermon, I read this passage this morning in the King James Version and immediately recalled to my memory Christmas after Christmas watching a Charlie Brown Christmas special. Yeah, you're laughing because you all know what I'm about to say. It's the best scene in the show is when Linus recites this passage for Charlie Brown and then concludes by saying, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And that's what inspired me to ask my daughter to read for us this morning. So, Gabrielle, thank you for being our Linus and sharing what Christmas is all about. And this passage indeed has a lot to say to us about the meaning of Christmas. In fact, it can only be God's leading that all three of your pastors will have preached from a portion of this passage during this Advent and Christmas season. Last week, we heard from Pastor Esther, who focused on the shepherd's response to go and tell what they had heard. And today, I will be focusing on the angelic proclamation, the symphony of peace. And now in two short days, Pastor Dan will also preach from yet another portion of this passage at our Christmas Eve services. And let me just pause here for a moment and tell you how excited I am to experience Christmas Eve at Trinity. It's going to be wondrous indeed. Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Henry David Thoreau has been quoted for having said, "In a world of peace and love, music would be the universal language." I believe that there is a lot of truth in that sentiment. It is easy to see anywhere and everywhere the power of music at work during this season. This time of year in the church is second to none when it comes to singing. We've already seen evidence of this here at Trinity through Alice and her many wonderfully talented teams as they've brought us the Appalachian Winter Christmas Cantata and the youth before you this morning performing in Gainesville at Simplify on Friday night. And as I've already said, I can hardly wait to gather here on Tuesday with the thousands from around our community and beyond to fill this space with the glorious songs of our faith, proclaiming the birth of a Savior. In my mind, Christmas Eve is when church music is at its very best. It's worth pointing out, however, that the church doesn't own a monopoly on singing at Christmas time. In fact, I came across something fascinating that proves this point. The top 10 songs with the most recorded chart appearances of all time are evenly split between secular and Christian Christmas songs, with 5 songs represented in each category. The 2 Christmas hymns that made the top 5 happen to be my personal favorites. O Holy Night comes in at number 4, and Silent Night comes in at number 1. Yay, Silent Night. White Christmas, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, and Winter Wonderland round out the top 5. To be sure, everywhere you go throughout the Christmas season, as the old hymn suggests, there's a song in the air. As I have been sitting with Luke's telling of the Christmas story over the past few weeks, my focus has been on the songs found in Luke's gospel. There are 4, and they are found in the first 2 chapters. First, we hear Mary's song, also known as the Magnificat. Mary sings this song after meeting her cousin Elizabeth, who announces to Mary that the child she was carrying in her womb, who happened to be John the Baptist, jumped for joy when Mary, also pregnant and carrying the Savior of the world in her womb, had arrived for her visit. Next comes Zechariah's song. Now, Zechariah was, of course, John the Baptist's father, and his song appears following John's circumcision, the Jewish custom under the law. Then we have the song of the angel sung over the shepherd's field to announce the birth of our Savior, Christ the Lord, which Gabrielle read for us this morning. And finally, the fourth song of Luke's gospel comes from a man named Simeon, who encountered the infant Jesus in the temple when Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus for his circumcision. So four songs, and each are indeed unique, but there is a theme that runs through them, and that theme is peace. This is why Thoreau's words have not been far from my mind as I have been pondering these songs. For on that first Christmas, God's perfect love, the Prince of Peace, came to dwell among us. And the way Luke seems to portray it anyway, the universal language used to announce the coming of Jesus the Christ was music. And so I have come to think of it as God's symphony of peace. Symphonies are elaborate musical compositions with three or more movements. The first movement I see in the symphony of peace is found in Zechariah's song. Luke 1, verses 78 and 79 read, "Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace." I believe that what this first movement is meant to convey to us is that because of God's deep compassion for us, he will send Jesus, the dawn from heaven, to us so that we will find peace once again with God. The second movement, the angels singing in chapter 2, verse 14, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." And here we move from finding peace with God to finding peace with each other. My favorite lyric from the hymn, "O Holy Night," speaks to this. "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace." The third movement in this grand symphony is found in Simeon's song. Luke chapter 2, verses 29 and 30 read, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation." Here, Simeon, who Luke tells us was a righteous and devout man on whom the Holy Spirit rested, and the Spirit had promised he would see the salvation of the Lord. He'd been eagerly anticipating the restoration of Israel, had finally found peace within himself after coming face to face with Christ the Lord. Simon had laid eyes on Israel's long-awaited Messiah and new peace. What power there is in music. In fact, one scientist said that listening to music triggers what she calls a neural symphony in the brain. And that when we're listening to music, the most advanced areas of the brain tie to the most ancient. So it makes sense that music is a universal language that transcends lingual and cultural boundaries with ease. And if God's gospel is peace, as the hymn suggests, then thanks be to God for his symphony, the symphony of peace. Through Christ, the Prince of Peace, we can know peace with God, peace with each other, and peace within ourselves. By his Spirit, God continues to conduct this symphony, and not just at Christmas, but all the year through. I think it's just that we are more attuned to this symphony, more inclined toward peace at Christmas time. I'm sure many of you have heard the story of the Christmas truce of 1914. I've often heard it said that peace broke out on a battlefield in France after German soldiers began singing Silent Night. They sang from their trenches to signal to the British Army their desire for a Christmas Eve ceasefire. An article in an English newspaper on January 5th, 1915, included this letter from an officer of the British Army. "You need not have pitied us on Christmas Day. I have seldom spent a more entertaining one despite the curious conditions. We were in the trenches, and the Germans began to make merry on Christmas Eve, shouting at us to come out and meet them. They sang songs very well. Our men answered with our own singing very badly. We met halfway, and there ensued the giving of cigarettes and receiving of cigars, and arranged a 48 hours armistice. It was all most irregular, but eventually both sides were induced to their respective trenches. The enemy sang all night. It was rather wonderful. The night was clear, cold, and frosty. And across to our lines at this unusually miserable hour of need came the sound of such tunes, very well played. Christmas Day was very misty, and out came these Germans to wish us a happy day. So there you are. All this talk of hate, all this firing at each other that has raged since the beginning of the war, quelled and stayed by the magic of Christmas. Indeed, one German said, "But you are of the same religion as us, and today is the day of peace. It is really a great triumph for the church. It is a great hope for future peace when two great nations hating each other as foes have seldom hated should on Christmas Day, and for all that the word implies, lay down their arms, exchange smokes, and wish each other happiness." The soldiers laid down their weapons to join their enemies on the field and celebrate Christmas. That, my friends, is why Christ came, to make peace possible for us, to invite us to leave our trenches, abandon our weapons, and live into the symphony of peace that began over 2,000 years ago. You know, this invitation to leave our trenches, abandon our weapons, came to life for me last year through something that my son Nathan did. Each year at our church, we would host a night in Bethlehem. It was an interactive experience for families to come and together enjoy the story of Christmas. We would transform our sanctuary into the town of Bethlehem. There was a baker's stand. There was a place for children to play games. There was a carpenter's stand. And my job, which may not come as any surprise to those of you who know me well, was to dress as a Roman guard and call people to the census table to be taxed and counted. Nathan last year decided that he wanted to be my apprentice. So we both put on breastplates and carried swords and walked through Bethlehem together. And as the evening went on, at one point he looked at me and said, "Daddy, I haven't been into the manger to see Jesus yet. And I said, okay, well, let's go. And so we walk, and we come to the live nativity. And he says, I want to go by myself because I need you to do something for me. And I said, okay, well, what would you like me to do? He goes, I need you to hold my sword. He handed me his sword and walked into the manger and knelt in front of Mary, who was holding Jesus. In that moment, my son had done something more beautiful and profound than he in his four-year-old mind could have known. He laid down his sword so that he could pay a proper visit to the Prince of Peace. It's a moment that I will never forget. Through Christ, we can lay down our own arms, especially the kinds of weapons we use when we unwittingly make war with our words, like bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip, revenge, and deceit. And as I think about the soldiers on the battlefield in France, and I think about Nathan, I wonder, what arms do we have to maybe lay down this Christmas season so that we can properly visit Jesus? My friends, I pray that we, as the symphony of peace leads us, can know peace with God, peace with each other, and peace within ourselves. And that we are able to join our voices with the heavenly forces, with Zechariah, with Simeon, and even our enemies, to sing a song of peace. True peace. And that's what Christmas is all about. The peace of the Lord be with you all. We turn now to the Lord's table, where some 33 years after the Prince of Peace arrived in a manger, he arrived in a room and sat at a table with his friends and one who would betray him on the night before, which was the night before the day, which turned out to be the most violent day of Christ the Lord's life. He wanted to share a meal. And he took bread and he raised the bread to heaven, thanking God for its provision. And he broke the bread and he offered it to his friends. And he said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do so in remembrance of me. Then when supper was over, he took a cup and again raised the cup to heaven to thank God for his provision. And then he offered it to his friends and said, take, drink. This is my blood poured out for you, the blood of a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Father in heaven, pour out your spirit on this gift of bread and cup. Make it for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Prince of Peace, so that we might become his body, proclaiming a message of peace in all the world as those angelic messengers did. May we too be messengers of peace in a broken world who desperately needs to know that there is a gospel of peace, that there is another way. We pray, God, that as we gather at this table this morning, that we remember why you came And that in this moment, you meet us in this space. You meet us where we are, and that we know peace with you. We know peace with the brothers and sisters we are joining at this table. And we know peace in our hearts. We pray all of these things in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to help with communion to please come forward now and prepare. And as they do, I want to let you know that in the United Methodist Church, the Lord's table is an open table. That means you don't have to be a member of Trinity. You don't have to be a member of any United Methodist Church anywhere. Jesus sets this table for you, and you are simply invited to come as you feel led. And you can, we have some more chairs out here in anticipation of Christmas Eve, and so please be patient with one another, peaceful about coming forward to the table. But you can return to your seats and sing. You can feel free to kneel and pray. But come, the table of the Lord is open, and all is ready. It's been good to gather with you this morning and experience the wonder of Advent and the Christmas season, to know the message of peace that God sent, and to know that He is still conducting a symphony all around us. Before I give the blessing, I just want to make an announcement real quick. Shannon Freer, if you're here, I have something that belongs to you. It was found outside. Please see me after. But why don't we all stand now? And if you feel comfortable reaching out, take the hand of a brother or sister standing near you and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May He make the dawn from heaven break upon us. And may He make the Christ child lift His face to us and grant us peace. Amen.